Now we could do six shows and start talking about America and the zoo. And yeah, you're bad because you know, one of the things that happened to me, and they know this, but when I did stop my mind, is you know, I always had a really high thing, but I soaked it down, you know, and I used to suppress things so that I didn't get trouble. I mean, to me, the ideal New Yorker is a taxi driver who only has this one problem of getting through the traffic. I mean, he doesn't worry about income taxes. He doesn't worry about his lawyer telling him something. He doesn't have to worry about anything except going home to dinner, you know, get through with a gig or somebody with a job like that. So I used to try to. But you see, my problem here is like now, and especially when we're going back, and you mentioned an Alan Freed. How many people, nobody really knows that I actually took Alan Freed's job.
Oh, no,
when
I didn't
he
know that.
Left, he went outside of Cleveland because they wouldn't allow him within a 50-mile radius of Akron because he had that in his contract.
The music's been around long enough that Joey D is trying to make up an old age home for rock and rollers. Did you read that?
No.
Joey D said,
where'd you see that?
I saw it in the papers about a month ago. He's trying to raise money to have a retirement home. For rockers.
Because for
the rock generation.
The Will Rogers thing, which is part of showbiz or something, but it's not.
Yeah, for those guys that are, you know, who are in their 60s now, who were, you know, from the 50s, and they're, you know, they didn't pay anybody in the 50s.
I know. Don't tell me about all that. I can see who's co-writers on a lot of songs.
Yeah, I knew
what was going on.
Of course.
But Murray's mother is on Splish Splash.
Yeah, and Alan Freed's all over the place.
Yeah, Alan Freed's on there. And
Elvis Presley is all over the place.
Jerry Wexler is on there. Jerry didn't write anything, but these guys came in. Yeah. And Jerry and Ahmed and everybody. You know, it's not
I think Ahmed wrote.
Ahmed did do a little. Well, Ahmed used to be at the session. Well, so did Jerry. I mean,
so did Jerry,
Yeah, they were right at the sessions.
So, I mean, yeah, you know, this is the history of it, and it's fascinating to us. I mean, maybe just because, like, that's our age, so we span all of these things. But I wonder whether it's interesting to anybody else.
No, I think it is from the music standpoint, because the minute, for instance, when we make that reference to Fats Domino and Pat Boone, and then when we do the Everly Brothers and all that, because, see, there's nothing there, and the crickets, the minute people hear that, I mean, that's just that everybody is involved in that, but that's where we came from, and that's what it's about. So it's really so good.
Groups today, you know, I mean, are influenced by. They're influenced by Led Zeppelin. I mean, you got a whole movement influenced by Led Zeppelin.
Wait, don't tell me I'm the one that gets the new music,
right?
And like,
so that doesn't relate back to this period.
When I'm playing something now, remember, I said I get 50 albums a day in 1968 and 69. From all these labels, because what they were doing was Ampex would put up $200,000 to sign a new group called the Ring-a-Dings, and the label would just record them. They'd put out eight new groups and hope the two of them stick. But then that this similarity thing, so that now when I'm playing something new, a lot of times I'd say maybe two out of three times I'm saying sounds like this, 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 and this, or this, this. So, I mean, I understand influences. And okay, if... Hornsby, okay, people who play piano, Billy Joel, Elton John, I can make it. Hornsby has a little something different. He's not exactly like, so that's better. That's something that, okay.
Well, he's influenced by, what's his name?
Al Stewart.
That guy, what's his, I always forget his name. Keith Jarrett.
Oh, okay, but he'll tell you all these things.
Right.
But first of all, he figured, I don't have a prayer because I'm a piano player. Then he begins to say, maybe I do. But there's the dimension isn't there to open up, nor the number one problem is the record companies aren't going to sign anybody, that many new people, unless there's something really different there, because they have this huge commitment already. They have budgets. They have this.
Yeah,
they have
right.
a schedule. So an artist that's making it in Canada, an artist that's making it in London, isn't necessarily going to make it here because they don't have a place to release it yet.
That's right.
And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things going on now that didn't go on before.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's... I think my generation, you know, the guys that, like, were, like, kind of peak... Not kids who... Guys who, like, were kids and had big hits in the 60s. I mean, we were 24 years old when we had our first hit, and the Beatles were about the same age. And those people go back to the early days, and they take that stuff with them. So the development of those people contains all the early stuff with it.
That's right.
When you have people that late 70s people who are influenced by the 70s who rejected the 60s. You know, I mean, every generation rejects the one before, you know. When that happened, it cuts off really the 50s too. And the 50s was one of the great sources. Of course, there are periodic revivals, you know, I mean, you know, what was that group? Brian Setzer's group, what was that? Stray Cats went back to, you know, to 50s.
They just reformed.
That's smart.
We're going to have them on in a week.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Because it is. That's plain old rock and roll, early rock and roll, and they were very good at it.
But it's not a... It's a reference to it, and Dave Edmunds knew that stuff. But
well,
it's not a development of it. You know,
no.
They're recreating the sound.
Yeah.
What my generation of people did was they had the sound in their head, and then they tried to make a new sound.
Yeah.
Lennon once told me that his early recollection of music was listening to Radio Caroline. You know, that ship off the coast. You know, in the English Channel. But he was up in Liverpool. So the signal used to come in and it would go fade out. It would go wah, wah, wah. And he said that sound of music sort of surging in and receding was a sound that he always used to try and get into the record. And you can hear it, you know. You can hear this kind of strangeness coming in and, you know, going out, Strawberry Fields. And all of that strange thing was an early sound that he heard that he put in. But he put it in, and you know, he was a creator. So this generation is carrying that. And Graceland, which seemed to a lot of people like a leap and a very modern record, really contains everything I've learned since I'm 15 years old.
Did you spend a little time with John Lennon?
Yeah, I knew him. Yeah, I knew him a little bit. Yeah.
Did you get to talk to him too while he was living in New York, becoming a New Yorker?
Yeah, that's where I knew him. To Dakota. I know Paul much better. I see Paul all the time. He comes out every summer. He comes out to see his family, and I see him every summer.
Did you get a chance to see a screening of the movie or anything yet? Imagine.
No, I didn't.
They had the thing last night, which I went to. I had seen a prior thing about a month ago before they did the final. So, I got to do that too. Actually, he came up with the rock and roll album, which is what you're talking about, really. And he didn't have the promotion guy with him or anything when he came to the station, and he just
he did a great Bebopalula.
Yeah, he did.
That was a tough song to cover.
Yeah,
it's tough to do that, and you know.
Well, he was
because they were great records. They weren't great songs. They were great records. So if you want to capture, you had to capture the essence of the record. And you know what that is. That's impossible. That's like the mad. Record has magic, it's a hit. If it doesn't have magic, it's not a hit. That's what it is. It's not, can't be described, or you can't go in and go for magic. You know, you can't come at it. It just happens, or it doesn't happen. That's record making.
Who do you think he liked? There was Sam Cooke. There was Little Richard.
Who he liked?
There was Buddy Holly and the Crickets. Everything you're talking about, because those are just people.
Yeah, they had everything except doo-wop.
Yeah. That's because not easy to do either.
Yeah, because it was
New York.
It was local. Well, not just New York. It was all the urban centers. Because Los Angeles had a good doo-wop scene, too. A lot of groups came out of Los Angeles. Philadelphia.
I'm prejudiced.
Me, too.
I just thought we owned that.
Well, it was. It was
acapella and doo-wop, and it just seems like it was part of the New York heritage, but... You can't say that Chicago didn't have their
Chicago
blues and their
did,
stuff.
Chicago did. Detroit had it. I mean, are we done?
I think we're done. You know what I'd like to do? This has nothing to do with the show or anything. I'd like to listen to this. I mean, we're going to use. We've got this, and we're going to do this. I'd like to do a thing on top at a different time. So that I feel like, you know, the bookends are, sorry about that, bookends.
It's perfectly all right.
Excuse expression. I like this. I just want to make sure that that at another time we do another half an hour, you know, whether it's here or whether we go over to his place or something to, you know, get some loose ends. See, that's a part of, you know, so you know, we're so close to having a lot more things involved when we went, you know, into your folk thing and into that. And
well, you know, I kept the album. I specifically kept the album on a narrower focus.
But I'm talking about a total Paul Simon.
Well, I stayed away from that.
I know. But
there, because I mean, I had the choice of doing that. They were saying, let's release, you know, let's do that huge package that everybody does, you know, that Clapton just did, and maybe even release all the, well, Warner Brothers has, they don't have that Columbia stuff from Simon and Garfunkel, but they have the Concert in the Park, you know.
So I was going to talk about that because
they could have put
that
in there too, and you know, made the thing like 25 or 30 songs that that everybody would know and say, well, hey, this guy's career covers, you know, all of these songs. But I said, I don't want it really. I don't want, you know, some other time, you know. I don't want to have a real big deal because I'm working on something. I'm working on stuff that's real interesting. And it's, you know, when I left CBS, I left it under, I had such a terrible fight with Walter Yertnikoff that he took all of my records out of the stores. And you couldn't buy Paul Simon records for, really, until this year, when I got all the catalog back, by, you know, contractually, and Warner's reissued it. But otherwise, like all this 70s stuff, which was, I mean, hits and, you know, album of the year, Grammy, you know, I mean, it's just got lost, kind of, not lost, but a little bit lost, you know. And I just want to come back and say, well, you know, I mean, I was doing interesting work before Graceland. And after Simon and Garfunkel.